Busia sugar producers who can't afford a teaspoon, by Okong'o Oduya. Francis Maingi, the proprietor of a small supermarket in Busia town, has been witnessing a strange phenomena among his customers. They approach the shelves of sugar with reverence and keenly read the prices, pause, and leave without making a purchase. Busia, a small town on the Kenya-Uganda border, is at the epicenter of the current sugar crisis as the price of commodity in Kenya hit an all-time high, with a kilo costing Kenyans between 225 Kenya shillings to 250 Kenya shillings, while a 2 kilogram retailing between 450 Kenya shillings and 500 Kenya shillings in various parts of the country, up from 300 Kenya shillings 1 year ago. For many of its residents who plant sugarcane, scarcity of the commodity amidst the straddling acres of unharvested cane from frustrated farmers as sugar factories shut down over cane shortages is a misnomer. The county, which hosts several sugar factories including Busia Sugar Industries at Busibwabu and the West Kenya factory at Olepito and borders Mumias Sugar, has witnessed the collapse of the industry over intense cane poaching and imports. The county, which hosts several sugar factories, including Busia Sugar Industries at Busibwabu and the West Kenya factory at Olepito and borders Mumia Sugar, has witnessed the collapse of the industry over intense cane poaching and imports across the border, as well as cases of smuggling of the sweetener over the years. Now the country residents, mostly rural, poor, can no longer afford sugar. The crucial commodity is not only a luxury on their breakfast table, but a key ingredient in distilling the local brew changa, which, although illegal, sustains several households in the area. The Frankmart supermarket proprietor says although he sells a pack of 2 kilograms at 480 Kenya shillings at Frankmart supermarket, still most buyers in the county with 83% poverty index cannot afford the sweetener. As much as we don't make a lot of profit from the sugar sales, consumers are finding it tough to afford sugar with the current prices. The majority will walk to the sugar shelves, look at the prices, then walk away, which means she or he is unable to afford it, he said. Being a border town, scarcity in Busia tends to send consumers to neighboring Uganda, betting on different state policy and stability of production for supplies. However, the current sugar crisis is global, with sugar prices at an 11-year high on reduced sugarcane production in Asia and South America due to bad weather, while India has restricted exports to cater for local demand. As a result, even in Uganda, prices are prohibitive, with a 50-kilogram bag of sugar going for 12,000 Kenya shillings, while the same quantity in Kenya is selling at a wholesale price of 10,500 Kenya shillings, wholesale price. To deal with the crisis, President William Ruto has fallen back on duty-free sugar, a practice that has become almost an annual ritual in the country as the government pushes to meet deficits. Last year, Kenya imported 320,000 tons of sugar, despite the fact that sugar subsector grew by 13.8% to 796.6 thousand tons in 2022 compared to 16% growth in 2021 and almost doubling production from 491.1 thousand tons in 2018, according to the Economic Survey. In under a year, Kenya has waived duty on sugar imports twice, with government giving importers licenses to bring in 100,000 metric tons in December and recently handing over special license to select individuals to import 10,200 tons of sugar from non-COMESA countries, with the first consignment expected to arrive in the country in a few weeks to bridge the sugar deficit in the country. According to Dr. Ruto, his government has ascertained that the country lacks enough sugar due to the scarcity of cane from farmers, forcing his government to seek alternatives elsewhere. And as Kenya prepares to increase sugar imports to stabilize the prices, the country is also grappling with a local crisis, as years of poaching, a practice where private factories buy sugarcane from farmers without investing in its production, is finally taking a toll on the sector. Both public and private sugar factories have shut down operations for 4 months, leaving farmers frustrated, local economies crumbling, and consumers unable to afford the very produce this region is famous for producing. According to the director of Busia Outgrowers Company, Mr. Lambert Ogochi, the announcement will kill the sugar sector, as few individuals in the country benefit from the importation. Mr. Ogochi, who is also the national coordinator of the Smallholders Sugarcane Farmers Association, said that the announcement does not mean well to cane farmers in the western region, adding that the region has got enough cane to sustain the sugar mills all year round. The announcement made by President William Ruto to allow the importation of sugar to meet the current sugar shortage will affect the sector negatively. The region has enough canes to run our factories. Last month, Sugar and Food Authority allowed the closure of all sugar mills in Kenya for 3 months to allow canes in farms to mature before they resume operations. And that does not mean we open the window for sugar importation, said Mr. Ogochi. Farmers groups say the decision to allow sugar imports could be used by sugar barons to import sugar that can remain in the markets for 5 years, literally spelling the end of the sector in Kenya. According to Malala Anyangu, the cane farmer, the importation is going to flood the market, making it difficult to sell his cane and eventually reducing sugar prices. Mr. Malala has been in the cane farming business for the last 10 years, and he says it is when the pricing of cane was doing well, but without importation, it will lower the prices. The decision by President William Ruto to allow the importation of sugar from non-COMESA countries is working to our disadvantage. As farmers, where will we take our cane once the imported sugar floods the country? The farmers accuse some people in the government of deliberately frustrating their efforts to revive the sector for personal gain. Over the years, Kenya's sugar industry has bred brokers, barons, and smugglers taking advantage of the disorganization in the sector to line up lucrative deals at the expense of the farmer and the consumer. Kenya has put in place protective restrictions on sugar imports from the region, which has made the product expensive in the country compared to other countries. Twice that of other key sugar-producing common markets for Eastern and Southern Africa countries, making the country an attractive export market. Kenya limits duty-free imports from COMESA countries to a maximum of 350,000 metric tons annually, to fill its sugar shortfall, which helps limit imports and hold prices high. Since 2002, Kenya has sought to protect local sugar industries, insisting that it needs to privatize local millers and make the local industry sustainable before it can open market access. But for over 1.5 decades, Kenya has been unable to privatize the 5 ailing sugar millers, a process that has been hampered by court cases, vested interest, and legacy debt. The late Henry Obocha, former cabinet minister and West Mugirango MP, who served as the chairman of Privatization Commission during these attempts, had said members of parliament from the Sugar Belt are apprehensive that the community will land. And at the center of the dispute is the 41,411.47 acres of land, which is equivalent to 31,372 football fields, where the companies own extensive track. Chemeli has 6,868 acres. Nzoia has 11,438 acres. South Nyanza has 7,407 acres, while Muhoroni has 6,866 acres. Miwani has 8,831 acres. Now, President William Ruto's government wants to move from privatization to leasing, even as analysts see this as just another ploy in extending the endless dance while hurting consumers. While blaming the crisis on the chaos within the sugar sector and competition from local millers, the president announced that he has plans to come up with a lasting solution to resolve challenges facing the sector. However, The president assured sugar industry players that the government will ensure that the importation window will not be abused by cartels to kill the sector. Privatization is the best solution. The issues that stalled this process can be handled. We saw it happen during KTDA so they can be sold competitively to farmers. Institute of Economic Affairs CEO Kwame Owino said, according to Mr. Owino, currently state officials, millers and politicians have all the reasons to be nervous about competition and would rather keep the millers on the deathbed while importing cheap sugar and selling it expensive locally. Federation of Sugarcane Farmers Deputy Secretary General Simon Wasechere said the process of reviving sugar industry has been studied, reported on and task-forced on several occasions, and the new government need only to look at its ministry recommendation if they were serious about reforms. We reject the cabinet decision and invite it for public meetings for a reminder of the real revival plans. This one of theirs is all about a mirage, he said. The reality is that sugarcane production has not only become expensive right from land preparation, planting, crop husbandry, harvesting and transport to the millers, all of which fall on the farmers' shoulders, but investment in the sector has also collapsed on greed and poaching. After legislatures gushed the sugar development levy, sugar development programs in the country have been curtailed. Then poaching, a practice where private factories buy sugarcane from farmers without investing in its production, has meant that state companies that invested in production have lost their money and struggled to get cane to crush, leading to the collapse of the only institutions that supported farmers. This has discouraged investments in inputs and cultivation, eventually affecting production that has left the entire industry struggling to find cane for crushing. Mr. Geoffrey Wandera, cane farmers from Matayos, are calling upon the government to sensitize farmers to embark on cane farming to produce enough cane to feed sugar mills in Kenya. Unless we start sensitizing members of the public to the need to embrace cane farming to provide the raw material for the local factories, sugar importation will be with us for a long time, he noted. 3 years ago, Busia Sugar Industries resorted to importing cane from Uganda when they realized that the cane produced by farmers in the country was not enough to run the factory until the government banned the importation. The Federation of Sugarcane Farmers said public sugar mills can only be steadied through serious cane development programs that are honestly implemented. Whereas solutions to the problems bedeviling the subsector are gathering dust in various reports, such as the Sugar Industry Task Force, the government is employing firefighting tactics that cannot fix the industry woes, he said. Instead, by opening the market selectively to only a few players, the government has opened an avenue for smuggling and contraband sugar, most of which the state has admitted is dangerous. In a new draft policy already cleared by cabinet dubbed seeking to revitalize the sugar industry, the government concedes that tax enforcement of standards, porous borders, and fragmented regulatory oversight have all played a part in creating an environment where substandard sugar finds its way into the market. Working in local supermarkets in Western Kenya, where the majority of cane farmers are found, you will not see sugar packaged from local companies. Sugar branded in Kabras Sugar, Ndhiwa, Mumias and Zoya packages are not in the market, and those on the shelves are packaged by private brands. For consumers, the state and interested parties are playing games with sugar when all they need is an affordable sweetener. Mr. Owino says the reality is that 14 million Kenyan households are subsidizing just about 80,000 to half a million households who produce the crop, which is not sustainable, especially since sugar makes up a huge factor in Kenyan household spend. If we stopped the subsidies, the truth is that farmers will easily move on to something else. The reality is that Kenyans are spending a disproportionate share of their incomes on food, and all we want is affordable food, Mr. Owino said. His sentiments were echoed by consumers like Mr. John Okoth, a Busia resident who says this is the first time in his life he is buying a kilo of sugar for more than 480 Kenya shillings. If the president's move will reduce the sugar prices in Kenya, he welcomes the announcement. But if it will benefit the few, then it should be condemned. Sugar is now a luxury in our homes. Families are unable to afford even a half a kilogram of sugar. If the move will reduce the prices in Kenya, let it happen. But if the president is giving room for the few to benefit from the importation, then that is wrong, said Mr. Okoth. What we want as Kenyans is for the government to find a way to reduce prices of the sugar, whether to increase cane production or importation of sugar. That is not our problem. Our concern is for the price to reduce, he added. Miss Gladys Mutanda runs a restaurant in Busia town, and she welcomed the idea of importing sugar, saying the current sugar prices are affecting her business. She is buying a 50 kilogram bag of sugar at 10,500 Kenya shillings, yet earlier this year, the same bag of sugar was trading at 6,000 shillings. Last year, a cup of tea at Miss Mukunda's restaurant was going at 20 shillings, but she had to increase it to 30 shillings per cup to remain in business. I am in support of the importation of sugar in the country. I hope it will help in reducing the prices of sugar in the country. Currently, we are buying 50 kilograms of sugar at 10,500 shillings from 6,000 shillings last year. As business people, we pass the burden to our customers. A cup of tea early this year was selling at 20 shillings, but now it is going. Support good journalism by donating below on the page. Thank you.